Digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
President Hassan's security forces still cracking down on the opposition, and they're not showing any signs of letting up.
The rumors have already started that the British are pulling out as signatories to the accord.
Assemble the representatives. I want to appeal to them myself to stay the course.
The suspects has family connections to a member of my delegation here at the UN.
Who?
Jamot.
Are you arresting me? I demand to speak with President Hassan.
President Hassan is the one who gave this order.
What's wrong? You sound upset.
I need to speak with you about your father.
I have to go to the embassy right now.
I'll meet you in private when I get back.
This has the address and schematic of the evidence lockup. This key card will get you access.
How do we find the money?
The evidence bins are numbered. Do exactly what I tell you to do and you'll be in and out. No one will know you were there.
The authorities know about the nuclear material. Putting Oleg in a clinic would lead them right to us. No doctors.
The doctor said that Oleg could be treated. He showed me how. Who are you to question my judgment? Never disobey an order from your father. I'm sorry, my son.
Tell me about this buyer.
His name's Ernst Mier, German arms dealer.
What's he looking to buy?
Weapons-grade uranium.
I'm gonna have to meet this Mier, and I'd need a good faith payment up front.
I'm not gonna tell you again. Leave me alone and let me get dressed.
Jamie, come here!
Or deal's off.
Mier?
That's right.
Where's the 5 million?
The money's in your account.
Drop the weapon. Now, drop it!
Yeah.
You really think you can roll me for $5 million?
You can talk to my man.
Yes.
Bring him back here.
He wants to see you.
Get up.
The following takes place between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m.
At the UN, a delegate shakes hands with President Taylor.
That went well. Unanimous support for the treaty. Well, nearly unanimous anyway.
I have a distinct impression that I'm running out of goodwill.
Maybe, but you bought yourself some breathing room. Well, these people are already up past their bedtime, so I don't think we'll be hearing any more grousing until tomorrow morning at the earliest.
Congratulations, Madam President.
Thank you. I appreciated your support.
Good. Now I hope you'd explain to me what's really going on.
I thought I did.
You invoke national security, which with respect is not an explanation. It's saying don't ask. Madam President, our countries have a unique relationship based on a trust developed over nearly a century now. Anything you say to me is in the strictest confidence.
You may tell your prime minister and no one else that President Hassan's crackdown isn't just a response to the attempt on his life. There are unsecured nuclear materials in play. Apparently, a faction inside his country was so disturbed by the prospect of disarmament, they decided to take matters into their own hands.
Where are the materials?
Here on our soil. CTU is running an undercover operation to retrieve them as we speak.
The British diplomat looks thunderstruck. Jack, as Mier, is driven by Lugo.
Who's dead?
My guess is that it's my backup.
How close do we get to Vladimir?
Does this look like a situation where you get to make demands? It's Mier.
I lost my sightline on you. I'm leaving the building.
I understand.
Everything okay?
The money's been transferred to Vladimir's account. I'm going to his office. We should be there in a few minutes.
I'll follow with a backup team.
That might not be necessary.
After what they just pulled, you're sure you're comfortable without backup?
There are other considerations.
You mean they have Renee?
That's right.
Okay, we'll stay back.
I'll let you know.
Who's dead? Let them know what?
Shut up and drive.
Okay, I got him on traffic cam.
Is everything okay?
Jack seems to be in control. Looks fine, all things considered. Driver looks a little worried. Who is this guy anyway? Should I pass him on to facial recognition? Dana?
Gotta take this.
Yeah, sure. No biggie. Just unsecured nuclear materials.
Dana withdraws into a corridor.
Yes.
We're there. Outside the evidence building.
You're in the side alley, right?
No. We're parked out front so everyone can see us. Well, what do you think I am?
No
Maria, look, I need to walk you through this step by step.
I know. We're ready.
Well, something just came up here, and I need you to hang on for a few minutes.
Here? We're kind of exposed, Jenny.
You'll be fine if you just stay still. We have a 30-minute window before the next security pass. I will be with you the second I can.
Arlo Hastings wants us in his office for a field update.
Can I ask you a hypothetical question?
If it's about Dana, it's not hypothetical.
If your fiancé was cheating on you, would you want to know?
Hypothetically, who'd be asking? Some creepy stalker who's about to get fired?
I'm serious.
So am I. Just go upstairs. It's none of your business. Dana, Cole just called about Jack. He's almost to Laytana, and Hastings wants us in his office.
Dana, struggling to remain calm, follows Chloe. 10:05. Jack arrives with Lugo at Laytana's base.
Pass me back the keys.
Lugo complies. Jack gets out of the car and holds Lugo at gunpoint through the window.
Slowly get out. Put your hands on the roof.
Lugo does so with smoldering resentment.
Let's go.
Jack walks Lugo into the warehouse space, his pistol to the man's head. Armed men appear. Laytana walks out to meet him with Renee in tow.
So this is how you do business. I wire you the $5 million like we agreed. And then you try and take me out.
I did not think you were for real. It was a misunderstanding. But it's best. We are here.
As an act of good faith, Vladimir has already started calling his contacts, inquiring about the nuclear materials.
I don't care what he's done. I want to talk to you.
So talk.
Jack shoves Lugo to one side and walks threateningly right up to Laytanen. He hands the Russian his gun.
I want to talk to my partner alone. Now.
Look, he's upset, understandably. It'll be fine,
huh? Laytanen nods tersely. Renee crosses to Jack.
This is our chance. We should take him out now.
No. We need him to do this deal.
Don't risk everything for a whore.
You ever talk about her like that again, he'll kill you. Understand?
What the hell are you doing?
I have authorization to pull you out.
No, that's not possible.
Renee, you've taken us this far. I'm gonna finish it.
Look, Jack, you can't. He doesn't trust you, first of all. The only reason he's agreeing to continue this is me. I'm fine, really.
You want to make calls? Let's go.
You don't have a say in this. I am pulling you out.
No, look, it's not a big deal.
I know what he did to you 6 years ago, and it is a big deal.
Jack. If we stop this now, then everything that I have done is for nothing.
We're running out of time. Let's go.
We're almost there. It'll be worth it.
Laytanen pulls Renee away. Jack follows, seething as he sees Laytanen place his hand on Renee's behind. At CTU, Dana walks surreptitiously along a corridor. 10:08. She pulls out her phone.
Kevin, you there?
Yeah. Thought you forgot about us.
I wish I could.
Come on, don't be like that. Are we good to go?
She steps into a small, secluded office and sits down in front of a terminal. On one of the screens, she pulls up CCTV images of the alleyway in which is parked Kevin's van.
Yes, move now.
Let's go.
There's a security panel next to the door. Use the key card I gave you. The code is 1668.
1668.
She watches nervously as Kevin fumbles the code repeatedly and is then pushed aside by Nick, who gains entry.
Keep moving. It will stop in a second. If you want the $120,000, you will be out of there in less than 20 minutes.
Okay, which door is it?
It's the last one on the left. The code is 4660.
Kevin leads Nick to the right door and this time operates the coded lock successfully. They pass through the door into a large warehouse space full of wire mesh cages.
It's like Christmas. A chain link.
Okay, how do we find the money?
In section 3-1,
01.
3101.
It's down the aisle on your left. The code is 2824. The last one on the left.
3101, do you see it?
Yeah.
Jim, what the hell's going on?
What number is it?
Is it 3101?
3101. This is 3110. Come on.
What is wrong with you two?
Hey, it's called a mistake, all right? Back off. So where is it?
3101 is down the aisle on the left.
Down here.
The code is 2824.
2824.
Bin number is 4301.
4301.
Man, it's too many numbers.
4301. 4301. Boom, got it!
Kevin hands a paper bag to Nick, who rips it open, revealing a number of wads of banknotes.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful.
Just shut up and get out of there. The next patrol is in less than 15 minutes. You've got the money. Close the doors and leave.
15 minutes. We're leaving.
Call me when you're clear.
I sure will, Jenny. Let's go.
Not yet. Check out some of this stuff.
Hey, seriously, come on, man. Patrol's on its way.
Yeah, 15 minutes.
Kevin casts a tense look at Nick, who seems to have become suddenly more dangerous. Kevin turns away. Dana vacates the office she has been operating from. 10:12 p.m. End of part one. Part 2. 10:16. Jack stands in Lieutenant's office.
Are you sure, then? You haven't heard of anyone dealing in these materials? All right. Oh. Thank you for your time. I'm sorry to trouble you.
Nothing. They did not appreciate being called so late. Rene, cut me some bread.
Jack narrows his eyes as Rene obeys and crosses to cut bread to go with the vodka which Lieutenant pours. The Russian, holding two shot glasses, crosses to Jack.
Here.
Lieutenant downs the generous slug in one.
You might want to ease up on the drinking. You've got some calls to make.
I drink what I want. And then where's the bread?
Coming.
Drink.
Jack pauses, then glugs down his vodka with ease. Lieutenant crosses back to Rene.
What is this? It is too thin. It should be thick. Nice and thick. There we are.
Lieutenant leers at Jack as he gives Rene one-on-one tuition.
She's changed, you know? 6 years ago, she thought she was too good for me. Now, she is much more friendly. Maybe I should thank you. All that time you were together in Mexico City. Come on. I see how you look at her. Don't tell me you didn't.
You want to keep talking? Do it on the phone. Otherwise, the nuclear materials will be gone, and this deal will be dead.
Fine, but I don't like you breathing down my neck. Lugo, get him out of here.
And I'm running out of my vodka. Go get me some more.
Lieutenant sits as Lugo escorts Jack from the room. Rene casts Vladimir a look of disgust. 10:18.
Sit down.
Jack moves across to a chair. Lugo addresses another Russian heavy. Watch the front.
I won't be long.
Lugo heads out. Jack sits there, bottling his distaste for the situation. The high-rise skyline of New York twinkles. Bazeev leads a priest into a large room in which his younger son, Oleg, lies dead on a bier.
My younger son. I
want you to bury him, Father Gregor.
Of course. But it will take a little time. The cemetery workers need to prepare the grave.
No, you will do it now. Out back. My men will dig his grave.
Sergei Petrovich, this isn't right.
Then make it right. Treat him like a soldier who died on the battlefield and must be buried there.
Is that how he died? In battle?
You just make it right. Say all the prayers. Where I end up, I don't care. But this boy is with the angels. My men will be with you soon.
Bazaev walks away, leaving Father Gregor like a rabbit in headlights. He walks through to the storeroom out back. A guard opens the door. Bazaev pauses on the open threshold. His older son, Joseph, sits with his back to the wall, wringing his hands and staring blankly.
Leave us.
Bazaev crosses to Joseph.
Get up.
Bazaev kneels down by his son.
Look at me, Joseph. I want you to understand that everything I've done for you and for our family.
You killed my brother.
Because I loved him. Because I couldn't bear to see him suffer. Because there was no other way.
There's always another way.
Not when we are dealing with nuclear materials. We cannot risk the authorities finding out, you know that. You don't know why I'm doing this. Because when I die, I want to leave you and your family a worthy inheritance. Wealth, respect, consequence. Can you understand that? One day you will. As your son grows older, you will. And you will understand how much I love you, my only son.
Bazaev leans down and embraces Joseph, who remains sitting woodenly.
Father Gregor is here to bury Oleg. Will you help him?
He's my brother.
Thank you. Call when you're ready.
What is it?
Vladimir Leitanin. He says it's important.
Bazaev goes to take the call. Joseph stays put, still in shock. 10:22.
Vladimir, what do you want?
Sergei Petrovich. I apologize for calling you out of the blue like this, sir. Your family as well?
I said, what do you want?
I have a business proposition.
Then call me in business time, not in the middle of the night.
No, this can wait. I hear there are materials for sale. Expensive materials, dangerous ones.
Talk straight. What materials?
Nuclear rods. Highly enriched uranium.
So why are you calling me?
If anyone has the organization to pull off such a deal, it's you.
I'm flattered.
I have a buyer here. A German. He's willing to pay a great deal of money for them. Double any offer you have.
Then he's as stupid as you are. Are you out of your mind? Nobody deals in nuclear rods. Nobody.
I'm sorry. Misunderstanding.
Don't call me again.
Bazaev ends the call. Leitanin is left pensively rubbing his chin with his phone.
He had no idea what I was talking about.
All right, then we call the next person.
You're not listening. He says nobody sells these things. Nobody.
You're close to the biggest deal of your life, Vladimir. He's just jealous that he's not in on it.
Come here.
Later. Once you've made more calls. Come on.
Okay.
We have a problem. Vladimir Leitanin knows about the fuel rods.
What are you going to do?
A white truck motors through the night. In the rear, a bearded man takes the call.
Да.
Это Базаев.
It's Базаев. You need to stop. You know where to go. That will put us behind schedule. Just do it, then wait for my call. The bearded man looks very unhappy. He picks up a comms unit.
Anton,
pull off the road, we're stopping. He casts a look down the hold of the truck to where sits a long wooden crate. The truck crosses a busy bridge into New York. 10:24. End of part two. Part three. 10:29. Nick continues rifling through boxes. Jack casts a look towards Lieutenant's office. President Hassan studies piles of photographs. He makes a note on his personal organizer. He reaches for the phone.
Yes?
Mr. President, it's Allison Taylor. We were scheduled to resume our discussions.
I'm late, I know. I apologize. The events of this evening...
The events of this evening make it more important than ever that we complete our work on this treaty. Mr. President, I need to know your intentions.
My intentions?
The crackdown on your countrymen. I've been informed that you've even arrested one of your own delegation.
That's an internal matter.
No, sir, it is not. Less than an hour ago, I assured delegates from 24 countries that you were still our best hope for peace. I personally guaranteed them you'd observe the letter and spirit of this agreement we're signing.
And I will.
Do I have your word on that?
Madam President, within the next few hours, the arrests will stop. I'm taking measures to assure that.
And the delegate you've taken into custody?
He'll be released or charged. You have my word.
Thank you. How do you think he sounded?
Not like himself.
Two men are in the room with Hassan.
Did he talk?
No, sir. Jamal denies all knowledge of the plot against you.
How forceful was the interrogation?
Very. I did it myself. I don't believe he's involved with your brother in any way.
You know Jamal has connections with the extremist.
Cousin in the opposition party, sir, that's all.
If he won't talk, we have to force the issue. He has a wife and children back home, is that correct?
A boy, 9, a girl, 7.
Have the security services arrest them. Apply whatever pressure is necessary to make Jamal talk.
Hassan turns back from pouring himself a glass of water to find that his security chief is staring at him gravely.
You have something to say?
Yes, sir. I do. You rallied us around you on the promise that you would put an end to such tactics. Mr. President, I will do everything humanly possible to find your brother, but please do not ask me to violate the principles that you and I both stand for.
Hassan looks intently at the man and then down at his own feet.
Thank you, Darren. With my wife gone, I have no one to speak the truth to me anymore. Check everyone's computer and phone records again. See to it that nothing was overlooked.
Of course, sir.
Let's go.
Taryn and the other man withdraw.
Nabil can stay and pack up these files.
The other man returns to Hassan's desk while Taryn exits. He starts collecting the photos together.
Forget the files.
Sir?
Call our security services and have them round up Jamal's wife and children as I asked.
I don't understand. You just told Taryn that...
I gave you a direct order. Will you obey it or not?
Yes, sir. I will call security services.
Good. And find Taryn's records in that mess. He might have his own reasons for not wanting Jamal to talk.
The man looks askance at Hassan as if concerned for the president's mental health. 10:33, Nick is still searching through boxes.
Nick.
Nick, come on, we gotta move, man. There's gonna be a patrol here any minute. Come on.
Give me the money.
What? The money, dumbass! We're gonna split this.
I'm gonna ask you again.
You can't be serious.
Nick squeezes the trigger. It is a water pistol.
Bitch, man, knock it off! Come on, man, let's go, jackass! I told you we should have gone. Such an idiot.
I just received a call from the hazmat lab at Fort Hamilton. They've analyzed the traces of uranium found on Hassan's assassin.
Did they identify where it came from?
Sample's too small to be precise, but the uranium is of Soviet origin. They're recalibrating their tests now.
Great. Keep me informed, Chloe.
Chloe and Arlo stare at Dana as she again leaves with her phone.
Kevin, are you out of there?
No, not exactly.
What are you talking about? You told me you left there 20 minutes ago.
Okay, yeah, well, we didn't. Okay, now somebody's here.
You idiot.
Yeah, fine. All right, just hurry. Somebody's in the hallway.
I can't believe you let this happen. If you get caught, I am dead.
Hey, we all are. All right, so just find us a way out of here.
Hang on. Stay calm. Top.
He's in the hallway right outside the room you're in.
There's another exit in the corner right behind you.
Nick finds a baseball bat.
My God, what have you done?
Damn it! It's locked!
He's coming inside right now. You're gonna have to slip past him. Go out the door you came in.
Nick and Kevin flatten themselves behind a corner as the lone cop walks slowly into the warehouse and down the aisles of wire mesh cages. Kevin peers around the corner and then gestures to Nick to follow him. They head cautiously towards the exit. The policeman discovers the burgled cage.
Control, this is 10 post 11. I'm at the warehouse.
Do we know?
Nick attacks the cop.
Hurry! Hurry! Hey, Kay! He called it in! We gotta go! Come on!
Kevin, stop him!
Come on! We'll call you when we're clear.
The pair flee, leaving the cop severely beaten. Dana observes, horrified. 10:36. Taryn walks along a hotel corridor. He knocks on a door. Hassan's daughter Kyla answers.
Taryn, are you all right? When did you get back from the embassy?
Just now. May I come in?
What is it? It's only me here. It's safe.
Taryn paces nervously, and then the pair clasp each other tight with an edge of desperation.
What's wrong?
You know, your father has had many people arrested, including Jamot. Well, now he's having Jamot's wife and two children detained back home, so they can be used to force him to talk.
No. There must be some mistake.
He gave the order himself. I thought I'd convinced him not to, but he was lying to me. He went behind my back. Kylie, your father is a great man. I respect him more than anyone I have ever known. But Fahad's betrayal has changed him.
What can we do?
Open up, please.
She brings up CCTV of three men outside the door.
What are they doing here?
I don't know.
Open up.
Taryn, stay here.
Yes, Nabil?
Miss Kyla, we've been looking everywhere for Taryn. Have you seen him?
No. Is there some problem? What do you think you're doing?
We have orders, Miss Kyla.
I said he wasn't here.
I'm sorry, but I don't believe you.
You can't just barge in here. I need to talk to my father.
Nabil, why do you need armed guards to come looking for me?
The president says you may be involved with his brother.
Based on what? Nothing. Only that I would not allow an innocent family to be tortured.
He's ordered me to detain you. I have no choice.
You do have a choice, Nabil. Tell my father he's made a mistake, that there's no one more loyal than Tarek.
Nabil, this is insane. You know it.
Don't make this worse, please. Don't you see my hands are tied?
Taryn breaks the standoff by reaching into his belt and handing his pistol over to Nabil. He presents his hands to one of the other men so that he can cuff him.
Let me talk to my father.
He's given orders not to be disturbed, even by you.
I'll talk to him. I'll get him to change his mind.
The security men lead Taryn away. Kyla watches forlornly. 10:43. Jack sits in Lieutenant's base. He gets up slowly and crosses the workshop floor. In the office, Vladimir is back on the phone.
I understand, Roman. We'll do business some other time, okay? That's it. Last one. He also knows nothing about nuclear rods. He also said it's suicide to Dylan. Mir has wasted our time.
No, look, Mir's intel is good, so we need to think. Who else can we call?
No one. I've called everyone who could possibly deal in these things.
And somebody that you've already talked to has to know something.
Rene, it's done.
Look, maybe they don't want to admit it. Maybe they don't know how serious you are. You should call them back.
I said no.
Tell them that you have the buyer. Tell me of the money.
Shut up! Just because I like your face doesn't mean I have to put up with your crap. We made $5 million. A good night's work.
Why settle for five when we can have 50?
When did you get so greedy? $5 million is plenty. Plus we have each other. It's not so bad, is it?
Oh, it's not bad. But it could be better. Call him again. Do it for me.
I said no.
Come on, Vladimir. Push them harder. Somebody knows something.
What is your problem? Nobody knows. There's no one left to call. Now you go out there and you tell Mir to leave, okay?
I'm not telling him anything.
What?
Not until you try again.
Look, it's over! What is wrong with you?
I need this deal!
That is why you're here, the deal.
Why else? Do you think that I'm here for you?
His second vicious punch floors her. She picks up the bread knife.
Get out of here.
No!
Jack runs in and pulls Renee off Lieutenant. She has stabbed him in the eye and repeatedly in the chest. Totally out of control, Renee stabs Jack in the abdomen. He sinks to the floor as she looks on in horror. Lugo enters and clocks Lieutenant's body. Before he can pull his gun, Jack whips the knife from his own belly and throws it expertly into Lugo's throat. The man collapses, choking on his own blood. Another man is approaching. Jack grabs a gun and shoots him through the translucent wall of corrugated plastic. Renee sobs on Jack's shoulder. 10:46. End of part three. Part four. 10:50. Jack binds his stab wound.
Lieutenant contacted everyone he thought might have information on the nuclear materials.
No one responded. That's when he said he was finished.
Renee kept pushing him. It got ugly. Lieutenant's dead.
He attacked her.
And so what, you took him out?
No, she did.
She did? Half an hour earlier, she was having sex with the guy. How's that even happen, Jack? Would she lose it?
She was defending herself. Look, we knew this guy was violent before we even went in.
He's violent. He's dead on the floor.
Yes, he is. And right now, we still don't have the nuclear materials secured. So I suggest we move on.
Move on? He was our only lead, Jack. Now, where do we move on to?
We can start by working the phone calls that Lieutenant made. There's also physical files here and a computer to go through.
Yeah, fine. Cole,
are you getting this?
Yes, sir. We're en route from the staging area, 5 minutes out.
We're gonna need forensics to rip this place apart.
Yeah, I got Bennett with me. He can coordinate till the full team arrives.
Just do what you can.
And bring Lee Tannen's body back here for autopsy.
I wanna know what the hell happened. Any other good news? Jack? Cole? Dana?
Excuse me?
I said anything else.
No, sir.
Okay, then.
We'll see you when you get here.
Yes, sir.
Our entire operation just went south. You think you could show a little interest? Pull it together!
Dana appears chastened, but still massively distracted. Jack comes back into Lightanen's office, where Renee is sitting, semi-catatonic.
You didn't have to do that.
Do what?
Cover for me with Hastings.
All I did was tell them the truth.
They see Vladimir, they'll know what happened.
What do you think happened?
It's like you said. I couldn't handle it. God, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
No, it's not. I could have killed you. I made such a mess of everything. I just thought that if I did this, I could make it all right. I could have my life back.
Hey, you can have your life back anytime you want. You just need to want it.
How? I've tried, and I don't know how. I don't have anything, anyone.
You got me. Okay. Hey, look at me. Look at me.
He makes her look at him and wipes away her tears.
10:54,
Jack walks out through the workshop, relaxed, expecting to see Ortiz and his men. What he sees is another bunch of Russians. He crouches down and then darts back into the office, pulling Lugo's body out from the doorway.
They're Russian. Vladimir must have contacted whoever got the Roz. They just didn't want him to know.
Jack shuts the office door.
What are you doing?
You let them take me.
No, we have to get out of here.
Listen to me. You want everything you've done so far to matter. I need to do this. When CTU gets here, you tell them to start tracking me from the air. These people are going to lead us to everything we're looking for.
They will kill you.
No. At worst, they're going to have to vet me. Find out how much I know. It should buy us enough time. I'm here.
He hides her in a cupboard.
Door opens again, you start shooting.
Jack crosses to the hand basin. The office door flies open and Bajaev's men burst in. What happened here? Three dead. It's Vladimir. What the hell is this?
Don't shoot! Please! I'm opening the door. I'm unarmed. See? Both my hands. See? No problem. I'm unarmed. No shoot.
What happened here?
What happened? They tried to rip me off, but you and I, we can do business. Wait. No, don't shoot. If you kill me, you're going to cost your boss a lot of money.
Who else is with you here?
No, everybody else is dead.
want to do his business.
Take him. Jack is led away by one of the men. He casts a glance back over his shoulder as another of the Russians goes to check out the bathroom. The man sweeps the room, finding it seemingly empty. He then spots the louvered cupboard door. Renee flattens herself against the wall as she watches the man advancing slowly towards her. She holds the gun Jack gave her.
Mikhail!
We leave. Coming. The man withdraws, leaving Renee breathing a sigh of relief in the cupboard. Kevin drives his van. Nick drinks from a bottle in a bag. They chuckle to each other. Hassan looks grave. Bazayev sits looking pensive. The large white truck is parked up. The bearded man and another armed man sit in the rear. Ortiz and his men pull up outside Lieutenant's hideout. They enter the workshop, guns drawn. They spot the first of the bodies, and then head into the office.
Hanson, upload the CTU. Mr. Hastings.
Site is secure. Video's coming through. Three bodies. Are you getting this?
Yes, we are.
Any sign of Jack or Renee?
No, sir.
I'm here. Here.
It's Renee, sir. She's alive.
Renee, where's Jack?
The Russians took him. The ones that have the nuclear materials.
How? We've been monitoring the building. No vehicles left this area.
I don't know. They just suddenly appeared. Jack let himself be taken. He said that you'd be monitoring him from the air.
We haven't seen anything.
Our drones have been overhead the whole time. They saw nothing.
Where is he? Where is he?
We don't know.
We don't know.
Renee's eyes widen. Jack is being led along what seems to be a huge drain pipe. The Russians lead him out into the open air and up to a parked vehicle.
Step up.
The leader of the group comes round the side of the dark van and gets into the front passenger seat. They drive away. ...11 p.m. The end.
We'll be right back.